Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Pei Beis. We will begin on Daf Pei Beis. I'm an Aleph, three lines from the top. Amalei Rav Huna l'Rabba Berei. Rav Huna said to Rabba his son, "My tam alo shchichas kameda Rav Chisda. Why don't you go listen to Rav Chisda shiurim? The mechadetin shematzei. He gives wonderful sharp shiurim. I saw from the Sefer Parashas Mordechai that actually Rav Chisda and Rav Huna had a disagreement, and they did not meet each other for 40 years, the Gemara says in Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. So Rabba, who was the son of Rav Huna, was attempting to continue that dispute. So he also did not attend Rav Chisda Shurim, to which his father told him, whatever is the issue between Rav Chisda and myself, has nothing to do with you. And Rav Huna and Rav Chisda gives wonderful shiurim, and you certainly should go listen to those shiurim. Amalei, so which Rava responded, my azal gabei, why should I go listen to those shiurim? The chazal gabei, when I hear the shiur, what I hear is discussed in the shiur, is milad alma. They don't discuss divrei Torah. He speaks about mundane matters, not divrei Torah. Amalei, so he said, he gave him an example. Amalei, when he gave a shear, man the oil, somebody goes lebeis akise to lebeis akise lelesa behedja, he shouldn't sit down quickly. Litrach tfe, he shouldn't strain himself too much when he tries to use the bathroom. The high kakashte atlas shana yosef, the rectum is supported by three teeth, by three veins that support it, and dilma, if you strain yourself, you sit down quickly, these teeth on which the rectum stands, these muscles, will be dislocated. So Rav Huna said to his son, he's teaching you things that impact your very life, how to use the bathroom, how to be careful, to be healthy, that Vat Amrit, and you're commenting b'mila de alma. It's as if it's mila de alma. Koshkein zil gabei, that you should go live there. So the Ben Yoda explains what was Rav Huna telling his son. It says in Pirkei Avos, Yofa Talmud Torah im derech eretz. So learning how to live properly, to be healthy, is critical to one's health. So don't belittle it. It's on the contrary, something very important to do, to know. Continues the Gemara, Hayul Fan of Tzrara Cheres. We're talking, again, the Gemara speaks about how one cleans himself after using the bathroom. So Hayul Fan of Tzrara Cheres, if somebody has a piece of stone and a pottery shard, what should be used? What is preferable to be used to clean oneself? Rav Huna mekanech b'tzrav enim karech b'keres. It's better to use the stone than to use the shard. Then, because we're talking about Shabbos and the keres, even though it's not muksa and the tzrav is muksa, it's better to use something that is muksa than to use the keres, which is sharp and could cause a sakana, as we're discussing, it could cut the person. Rav Chisda mekanech b'cheres, better to use something which is not muksa, v'enem mekanech b'tzror, which will be a question of muksa. Meisrei, ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, hoye lefon of tzror v'cheres, if somebody has a tzror v'cheres, it says expressly in the Braisa, mekanech b'cheres, v'enem mekanech b'tzror. T'yufta Rav Huna, isn't Rav Huna clearly refuted? Answers the Gemara, Tegmer Rafram Bar Papa, Kamed Rav Chisda Leder Rav Huna Ba'ogne Kalim. Here we're speaking about the handle of a keli, of utensil. So since they're very smooth, they don't pose a danger. Since they're smooth and they certainly will not tear the teeth of the rectum, that's what's, of course, preferable to be used. Continues the Braisa, if somebody has in front of them stone and grass, and the question is, what is better to be used?
Rav Chisda Rav Hununa, a machlokes Rav Chisda Rav Hununa. Charamar, one man dama holds mekanech b'tzror, better to use the stone, ain mekanech b'tzovim, not the grass. The charamar, one opinion is mekanech b'tzovim, better to use the grass, ven mekanech b'tzror, and not the stone. And the way Rashi explains the machlokes, Rashi says that the tzror is preferable. The mandama that says that the tzror is preferable because with the asavim, with the grass, which are sharp, are sakana. On the other hand, the mandama that says that to use grass is because grass is not muksa and tzror is muksa. Why is grass not muksa? Explains the Prima Gadim. Because grass is a machal behema. Grass is something eaten by animals, and since it's a food that can be eaten by animals, that's why it's not muksa. That's the way Rashi and the Prima Gadim expanding on Rashi explained this piece of Gemara. Ritva, however, says that the machlokes here is not regarding Shabbos. The machlokes here is regarding the weekday, and the Ritva says as follows: do we say the tzror is better, even though it's not that smooth, versus the grass, which is smooth but sharp? Or is it better to use grass, which is smooth, albeit sharp, and not use a tzror, which is not smooth and therefore more dangerous? So the question is, what is the better of the two to use? Meisvei, ask the Gemara, how could anybody say that you use grass? It says in a brisa, Hamakaneich medavish or shaletespa. If somebody cleans themselves with something that could be flammable, that fire could burn, shin of tachtoy noshus, it causes those muscles to collapse. So how could one even think that you should be able to use grass to clean yourself? Answers the Gemara, loikasha. When we spoke about grass that may be used, habalachin is moist grass. Moist grass is not flammable. Habiyavashim, dry grass, is obviously flammable. That's the way this Gemara is explained. Rashi, however, asks the question: if we're speaking about Shabbos the way Rashi explained the Gemara, so how can we use grass which is connected to the ground? We learned previously, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, the Gemara in Masechta Beis, it teaches us that ein mishtamshim b'mechubar, you're not allowed to work with anything connected to the ground. So he says that that's only a din in a tree. Grass, which is close to the ground, that there is no iser when it's of osel mishtamshim b'mechubar. But of course, as we learn this Gemara, the Gemara teaches us that one may not clean themselves in a bathroom with something that is flammable. So the Dakimasha quotes in Eurechaim Simon Gimel Ois Gimel, quotes the Chedushi Agoda, Va'ata Einas Hermazah, nowadays we're not Makbid, Kibotik Yisoy Shlono Einabasada. Our bathrooms are not in the field, and therefore it's different. Ask the Dakimasha, our Gemara doesn't make such a distinction where the bathroom is. The Gemara says you're not allowed to use such an item when you're not allowed to use something which could get burnt when you go to the bathroom. So the Magen Avraham in Simen Gimel Arachayim Sif Katan Yud Aleph explains the Agoda. It's the problem with something which could easily be burnt is because of kshofim. And the only place, says the Magen Avraham, in explaining the Daki Moshe and the Ramah, actually also Paskins like the quotes that Daki Moshe, is in the fields. Outdoors, there was a concern for kshofim. Indoors, where our bathrooms are nowadays, there's no concern of kshofim. The Daki Moshe gives another reason why people could use items that are easily burnt for cleaning themselves in the bathroom. He says, "Kim the doshba rabim." Everybody has begun using such items when they go to the bathroom. And there's a concept of shomer psoim Hashem. If everybody does something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches us, even though maybe it's not something which should have been done. The Aruch HaShulchan says that b'zman hazeh, there aren't as many kshofim as there were in the time of Chazal. And since there aren't so many kshofim like the time of Chazal, anything that has to do with kshofim isn't as much of a concern as it was in the time of Chazal, because Baruch Hashem, we don't have that problem. I actually saw from others that they say that nishtanu ativim, like we discussed earlier when we learned the Gemaras that discussed about different refuas, and we said that the different refuas that are mentioned in Shas don't apply bezman hazeh, and we explained because the world changed. Similarly, just like the world changed in all these areas, maybe such paper would have been an issue in the time of Chazal, then not a problem bezman hazeh. Continues the Gemara. Somebody needs to go to the bathroom and he does not. Rav Chisda Ravina, we have a machlokes Rav Chisda Ravina, how to look at this individual. He'll have bad breath. There'll be an odor from his body. Says the Gemara, Tanya command Amma Ruach Zuhama Shalatispa, that there'll be a bad odor emanating from his body, the Tanya. Hanitzrach Lenikova Va'ichel, somebody needs to go to the bathroom and he eats without having gone to the bathroom first. When they used to use ovens with coal, they used to first clean out the ash and then put in new coal. Here, too, a person should clean out his body before he eats. And now, what's relevant to what we just discussed, and if you don't go to the bathroom when you need to, that causes a bad odor to emanate from the person's body. And in fact, the Meiri says here, a person should attempt to be as clean as humanly possible. He shouldn't hold himself back from going to the bathroom under any circumstances. Anybody who does so, it causes bad breath and bad odor. Even if a person is close to constipation and cannot use the bathroom as much as he would like, he should try as much as he can to clear his body. The koshken shoim oilech lasuda, and certainly before he's going to eat. V'husha amrei, and he says that's what Al-Gama just taught us. Hatzarach lifnos v'achal doim latanis shesikua al gaba afrei. Continues the Gemara. Hutzruch lifonis v'ni yichal lifonis. Somebody needs to use the bathroom, but he can't. Amrav chizda yamid v'yeshiv. He should keep on getting up and down. Rav Chana ben Ahada, Yosalik Letzdodim. He should go to the side. He should keep on going different places to do whatever it takes to be able to relieve himself. Rav Hunan Amar, Yishmamish B'tzor B'Oisamokim. He should try to get his rectum to open and move his bowels. Rav Hunan Amar, Yisich Dati. He should remove his mind from it. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha Barei de Rava le Rav Ashi Koshkein. That's not what you should do. The Mesiach Data le Mafni. If you won't pay attention to what you're trying to do, then for sure you won't be able to do so. Amalei, he said, you didn't understand what I meant. What I meant was Mesiach Data Medvar Mecherim. Don't think about anything else. Concentrate on your need to use the bathroom. And by concentrating to your need to use the bathroom, hopefully that will cause that you should be able to indeed use it. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yirmi Medifti, L'di Chazili Ahu Taya, I saw a certain Arab, the Kanva Yosef, he cut up and down, Ad Shafach Kedera, until waste came out of his body like a pot which was being emptied. By doing so, he was able to relieve himself. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbonim, Hanuchnas L'suda Skva, somebody's going to come into a meal and he doesn't want, and it's not proper that during the meal he should have to walk out to use the bathroom. So what should he do? It says the Gemara, Yahalach es apamim al arba arba amis. Walk 10 times, 4 amis at a time. V'amri l'ah, and others say, arba apamim shal es esa. Walk 4 times, 10 amis each time. v'nifna, and then he'll be able to relieve himself. V'nechnas v'yesh v'koymoy, and then he could sit in his place. So I saw that most Rishayim are of the opinion that there is no machlokes. The Ar Zeruah says that these two shiurim are the same. So just there's a din that a person, whenever he says a dvar halacha, should say it the way he heard it from his Rebbe. So he heard it from his Rebbe, one heard from his Rebbe 4 times 10, and one heard from the Rebbe 10 times 4, and they were careful to repeat the halacha exactly how they heard it from the Rebbe. But it seems from Rashi that no, that these are two different opinions. And the one that says 4 times 10 says specifically you should do 4 times 10, and the other one holds specifically you should do 10 times 4. It teaches us the last Mishnah of our Perek, which continues the discussing the shiurim of how much you're now allowed to carry of different items. So says the Mishnah Cheres, if one is taking out earthenware, how much earthenware is there? How much earthenware, sir? Could they litain ben patsim lechaveri? Enough earthenware to put between one slat and another. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Remeya Amar, k'day lechas basar, enough to pick up fire with it. That's considered the amount of cheres that you chayif. Rabbi Yosi Omer, k'day lekav baravias, enough to hold a revius of liquid in that cheres. Amar Rameya, abishen ra'ay ledover, even though there is no clear proof to what is the correct opinion, zeich ledover, we could bring a ra'ay from a pasuk. The pasuk says, Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'loi matza ish b'mechtasoi cheres lachtois eish miyokoid. The Navi is giving Musa to Klal Yisrael for not trusting Hashem and looking for help from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. He says the wall of protection that they seek will fall and shatter to nothing. That not even a smallest piece of that wall will be left whole. So Meir says the use mentioned in this verse, kiyik esh miyukoid, picking up fire. So we see that's what pottery is used for. It's used to hold fire. Amalei Rabbi Yosi, misham raya. You want to bring a raya from that pasuk? Let's continue learning that pasuk. Ulach shayf mayim agever. There won't be left enough that you can carry water in it. So, says the Gemara, Mistabra, it makes sense to say, the shiur the Rabbi Yosi, that the measure the Rabbi Yosi uses is the larger use. Umikra, that's from the way we learn the Gemara, it makes sense to say that between these two shiurim, the biggest shiur is Rabbi Yosi's shiur. Why? From Rameyitz Mashma, that all it needs just to use for one coal, it's already enough to be considered enough to be chayiv. And you could use the smallest piece of earthenware to do so. According to Rabbi Yosi, you need a bigger shiur. It needs a shiur that you can carry revius. However, if we learn the pasuk, says the Gemara, or mikra, if we understand the pasuk, it seems shiur the ramei nafish. Ramei's shiur is the largest shiur. For explains the Gemara, dilus hakadatach shiur the Rabbi Yosi nafish. If you're going to want to suggest the Rabbi Yosi shiur is the largest shiur, so let's understand. Light loy b'mana zutra. The pasuk first curses that they won't even have the smaller amount. For Hadalait b'mana rabba, does it make sense that if the Navi is cursing them, does he say first the smaller shear and then the bigger shear? He should say first that you won't even have the big shear, you won't have the big shear. And then he should say, not only won't you have the big shear left, you won't even have the smaller shear. So what is the second shear mentioned? The shear that's used for carrying water, which should be the way we would seem to understand the pasuk, the smallest shear, but the way we're explaining, it's the biggest shear. Amr Abaya says, Abaya, the shear of fire is actually the biggest shear. Because we're not talking about enough earthenware to hold a small coal. What we're speaking about here is lachtas eish mikoida kedoila. It won't be enough to hold from a big flame, from a big fane. You need a bigger piece of cheres. So then the pasuk works well. You won't have enough for the bigger, to hold, which is enough to hold the flame. You won't even have for the, and then you won't even have for smaller to hold water. Rav Yosi Omer, but we learned in Mishnah, Rav Yosi says, from there is a raya. The pasuk says, "Ulachs of mayim megever." Says the Gemara, "Shapa kamle Rav Yosi Rameya." So why are you bringing a raya from the pasuk to your shear? Isn't there a raya to my shear? Rameya, the way to understand the pasuk is as follows: Loim b'ayi kamar, goes without question. Loim b'ayi midah the chosh of the inish loy shtakech lei. Certainly, something which is significant is won't be found. In other words, as Rashi explains, certainly the shard to carry water is smaller than the shard to carry a coal from a large fire. However, Rameyer holds that the shard needed to carry water is too small of a piece to be considered something that you're chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. And therefore, even though the Navi mentions such a small shard, he only mentions it to strengthen his curse, to say that there won't even be left insignificant shards. A shard that you could use to carry a coal, you will not have. The Leilashtakach, you won't find. Which that is the shear for carrying on Shabbos, because it has some significance. Something which is totally insignificant, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv for carrying it on Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to find it. Why wouldn't you be able to find it? Because it's so totally insignificant that the Navi is giving them a klala for relying on Mitzrayim. Hanrulach ha-moitziyayin, hanrulach ha-moitziyayin, hanrulach Hamotziyayin. Bezer Hashem Yisbarach. We begin the next perek. Perek Amar Bakiva. And as Rashi and Tosfos both immediately begin to discuss as we begin learning this perek, how does this perek come here? As we're going to learn, most of this perek actually does not speak about Hilchos Shabbos. So Rashi says, since we're going to learn a Mishnah at the end, towards the end of the parak, that asks, "Menayin shemachitznas amila? How do we know that we're allowed to wash somebody who had a bris mila b'yoyim shlishi shechalias b'Shabbos, when the third day after the bris is on Shabbos?" Which obviously that is a halacha that has relevance to Hilchos Shabbos. So the Mishnayis of this parak that all teach us menayin minayin also are mentioned in this Mishnah, even though they aren't specifically related to Hilchos Shabbos. Ask Tosfos, if that's the point of this Mishnah, this perek, so then shouldn't that halacha be mentioned first? And therefore Tosfos says that since we learned at this Mishnah, the Mishnah we just finished learning, we learned an asmachta from a pasuk regarding the shear of a clay cheres, we're going to learn in this Mishnah, other Mishnahs, but in this Mishnah, also a halacha that we learn from an asmachta. So that's why there's a connection between the Mishnah we're about to learn and the Mishnah we just learned. The only question he asks is, then this Mishnah should not represent a new perek. It should be a continuation of the previous perek. So he says that we have to, it seems, the way I understand Tosfos, we have to mix in Rashi's Pshat as well. That it has unique Hilchos Shabbos. Since it has some unique Hilchos Shabbos, that's why it's mentioned in this perek as well. Another reason is because what is the connection that we're about to learn about the next Shiurim? We're going to speak about Tumas Avodah Zarah. What's the connection with Tumas Avodah Zarah to what we're learning? Because just like Avodah Zarah is Matama, and the shear of Tumah Avodah Zarah is a Kezayis, so too will be the shear for carrying Avodah Zarah in Shabbos, the shear will be a Kezayis. And that's the connection between our two the two prokim, and the reason why this Mishnah is relevant to Hilchos Shabbos. Amar Bekiva, so says Rabbi Kiva, Menayin l'Avodah Zarah shematamba b'masa kanida. From where do we know that Avodah Zarah is matama like a nida? Says the Gemara Shenemar. The Pasuk says, when the Pasuk speaks about in Yeshaya, Klal Yisrael's connection to Avodah Zarah, and the Pasuk says to them, Tizraim k'maydava, throw them away like you would throw away a nida, tsei taimalai. So learns the Mishnah, man nida, learns Rabbi Kiva, man nida is matama b'masa. Anyone who carries a nida would become tumah tumas masa. Avodah Zarah matama b'masa. So too, Avodah Zarah is matama tumas masa. Both the Shlah and the Gra explain this Mishnah to teach us a halacha, to teach us pshat and a pasuk in the Chumash. The pasuk in Chumash says that when Rachel took away the Avodah Zarah of her father Lavan, and Lavan started going to the different tents of Yaakov Avinu and his family, and Rachel, the pasuk says, she hid it under her animal and she didn't get up. And he said, the pasuk says that Rachel says, "Al yichar b'nei Adoni ki loy ucha lokum b'fenecha ki derech noshimli." I can't get up because I'm a nida. And of course, they ask, how could Rachel say something which was not true? So the answer is that what she was saying is, I'm sitting on top of your Avodah Zarah. And your Avodah Zarah, as our Mishnah and the Gemara we're going to learn, teaches us, is tamei, like a nida. So when she said that it's kederach noshimli, she was actually referring to the Avodah Zarah, to Lavan's Avodah Zarah, which were indeed tamei, like a nida. And actually, there's an interesting Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin says that if somebody becomes a Baal Tshuva, the appropriate thing that he should do is he should go to the mikveh to be matar himself. Why? He says that just like we know a Nazir and a Metzora who become Tahor, the halach is that they have to go to the mikveh, the halach is that they have to shave and take a haircut, so too a person who becomes a Baal Tshuva is like going out of Tumah, because an Aveira, like our Mishnah is teaching us, is Tumah. And therefore, the Trumas Hadeshin wants to suggest that even though normally Chol HaMoed, we're not allowed to take a haircut, somebody who did Tshuva and is taking a haircut, just like a Nazir and a Metzora may take a haircut even Chol HaMoed, so too may a Baal Tshuva. And the Magen Avraham in Simin Shin Chavov Sifkat and Ches discusses there's an issue if one may go to the mikveh or may not go to the mikveh. He says about tshuva is allowed to go to the mikveh even on Shabbos. Why is it not considered masakin? Because the entire thing is only a derabbanan. And so too does the Taz in Yoridea Simin Reish Samach Zayin Sifkat and Hay says that somebody does tshuva should go to the mikveh and take a haircut based on what we're learning on our Gemara. So begins the Gemara. Tanan Hossam. The Mishnah teaches us in Masecht Avodah Zarah. Mishay Yabesach Samach L'Avodah Zarah. Somebody has his house attached to an Avodah Zarah. So there's a Machlokes Rishonim when we speak about a house that's attached to Avodah Zarah. Rashi here seems to learn that it's a house that's used to store Avodah Zarah. Rashi Masechta Avodah Zarah seems to learn that the actual house is an Avodah Zarah. So somebody has a house together with an Avodah Zarah. So what happened here, explained the Rishonim, the Meiri, is not that somebody built a wall together with an Avodah Zarah. What happened was a Jew built his house, and he built four walls. Afterwards, an Akum came and utilized one of the walls of this house as the fourth wall, used one of the walls of the house for his base Avodah Zarah. And now that wall falls down. Misha Yabesa Samach Levoida Zara for Nafal. And now that house falls down. Oslo Vinoisoi. You may not rebuild it. Ketzi Yasa. So what should you do? What you should do is Koidus Latok Shaloi Abba Amis Abayna. Go 4 Amis into your own property, and that's where you should build the house. Of course, the halacha is that that empty space should not now become used for the benefit of an avodah zarah. And the halacha is that that empty space, says the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, should be used to, as a garbage dump or whatever, not that there should be any benefit by you doing so for avodah zarah. Hosh shloiv avodah zarah. If the ground under the wall was half yours and half his, neither mechza mechza. You should treat it 50-50. So 2 amis of that area is yours, and then you should go 2 amis into your property, so you should distance yourself 4 amis from the base of Avodah Zarah. So there were different materials that were used for that wall that now collapsed. Says the Gemara, Avonov ha'etz of Afarov, all of the different materials that were used for the building that wall are metamim kasheretz, have tumas sheretz. So the Rabbi Kiv Eiger and others asked the question, why don't we say breira? We're saying that all of the materials that were used for that wall are considered avodah zarah and you can't use. Why don't we say, throughout Shas, there's a concept, a question of breira or ain breira. Breira means, can we retroactively be able to designate what is what? So therefore, the question here is, so the halacha throughout Shas is, by deraisa, we don't accept breira. We don't accept retroactive designation. By drabonans, we do accept retroactive designation. So ask the Taisus Yontif, why don't we say here, breira, and say that we can have retroactive designation. The tumah of avodah zarah, as we're learning, is an asmachta. It's only the rabbanon, and since it's only the rabbanon, we should rely on retroactive designation. So the Taisus Yontov says that even though avodah zarah is only tumah with rabbanon, it's still very serious. It's avodah zarah, and therefore, even though it's a rabbanon, we don't say breira. The Sfas Emes says a different teretz. He says the Isser Hanor from Avodah Zarah is a Isser Daraisa. So since the Isser Hanor from Avodah Zarah is Daraisa, we're not speaking about a situation which is purely a Darabonon. When do we accept the concept of Breira? Only in a situation which only affects a question which is a Madrabonon. Here, since we're not dealing with an issue which is purely a Darabonon, we can't say Breira. So it says, back to the Braisa, Avonov Eitz of Avarov, Betamim Kesheretz. They're treated like a Sheretz. Shenemar, the Pasuk says regarding Avodah Zarah, Shaketz Tishaktsena. So we see that it's treated like a Sheretz. And it has Tumas Sheretz. And Sheretz is not have Tumas Masa. So therefore, Avodah Zarah will not have Tumas Masa. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Kiva Omer, the Pasuk, that Avodah Zarah is treated like Tumas Nida. Shnemar, the Pasuk says, Tizraim Kamay Dova. Ma Nida is Metamba Mamasa. Nida has Tumas Masa. Af Avodah Zarah has Metamba Mamasa as Tumas Masa. So now the Gemara is going to bring a Machloikis Amaroyim, Rabbi and Rabbi Lezer, how to understand the Machloikis Tanoim of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Kiva. Amar Rabbi, Tizraim Damakra. When the Pasuk says, Tizrein, Nechrinim and Chokizor, where the Pasuk says, push it away from you like you push away a stranger, Tzei Tomaloi, tell the Avodah Zarah, go out, he comes al Tomaloi. So what the Pasuk is coming to teach us is how strict we should treat Avodah Zarah. So as I saw, the Bechor Shor asks, what is Rabbi coming to teach us by explaining this pasuk this way? So that Bechor Shor explains that the Gemara Masechta Nida teaches us that even though, of course, under normal circumstances, one must distance himself from a nida. The Gemara Masechta Nida teaches us that if one began having relations with his wife when she wasn't the nida, under what circumstances he could complete the Maisa Biyah. Teaches us the Gemara here that even if there's a heter by a nida under certain circumstances, that heter would never apply by Avodah Zarah. Along a similar line, what I saw, we're about to begin interpretation of the Tumah of Avodah Zarah. And as we've said already more than once in our shiur today, Avodah Zarah's Tumah is only a Tumah d'Rabbanan. And since the Tumah of Avodah Zarah is a Tumah d'Rabbanan, we know that the halacha by d'Rabbanan, as we always say, Safik d'Rabbanan l'kula. And therefore, since we always say Safik d'Rabbanan l'kula, maybe we ought to take a lenient approach here. Tells us the Pasuk, Rava, gives us an introduction that since we see that the Torah is so sharp in teaching us how a person must distance himself from Avodah Zarah, that's what the Pasuk teaches us, that's what Rav is telling us as an introduction to the Sugya. Vam Rava. B'masa, my interpretation is when it comes to Masa, Kol Amloi Pliga D'Matama. Everybody agrees that Avodah Zarah should be have Tumas Masa. The Iskish L'Nida. Avodah Zarah is comparable to Nida. And a Nida, as we've said, has Tumas Masa. Ki Pligi, where do we have a Machlaikis? There's a very unique Tumah. There's a unique Tumah of Evan Mesama. And there's a Machlaikis Rishonim. What is the definition of Evan Mesama? The place that we find Evan Mesama is actually a Pasuk in Daniel. The Pasuk says, V'hoisa Evan Chada, V'sumas Abum Gaba. The story over there was that when Daniel was appointed to be one of the ministers by Dayovish, his enemies wanted to harm him. So they convinced the king to make a rule that nobody should daven to any god for 30 days. They should only ask anything they need from the king. Of course, Daniel did not do so, and he continued davening in his home 3 times a day, like he always did. When he was caught, he was thrown to a den of lions, and they put a heavy stone on top of that bar, on top of that pit with the lions, that he shouldn't be able to escape. And as we know, the Pasuk in Daniel tells us that nothing happened to him anyway. So the way Rashi explains, the Evan Mesama is put on top of wood beams, and anybody who sits on top of that stone doesn't affect anything that's below the stone, because the stone is being supported by these wood beams, not from anything under the stone. We know, we've discussed this, that there's a special tumah by Azov, that tumas mishka v'moishev. So the Torah teaches us there's a din of Evan Mesama, that even though the things under this stone are not supporting the stone, they will still have Tumas Moshev. Tosfos, the Ritva, the Ramban disagree with Rashi. He says, and they say that in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that Evan Mesama is a very heavy stone, and since it's so heavy, anything that's under it, if you sit on that stone, anything that's under it doesn't make a difference. It's not affected by you sitting on it, because the stone, which is already so heavy, is doing everything that it can, will already affect as much as anything under it can to make that tumah. And when we speak about tumas Evan Mesama, it's relevant to a number of halacha. If a nida or a zov sit on Evan, and there's anything under that Evan Mesama, they become tamei. If somebody's tor sits on Evan Mesama after a zov or nida sat on that Evan Mesama, that person becomes tamei. A zov or a nida that sit on Evan Mesama, and then somebody, a tor person, puts any part of his body under that stone, he becomes tamei, tumas masa. And a zov or a nida that put their finger under Evan Mesama, and there's something on top of the Evan Masama, there are Kalim on top of the Evan Masama, that's called Tumas Hesed, and those Kalim become Tamei as well. So says the Gemara, the question when we speak about, that says Rabbah, that we speak about a Nida, speak about Tumas Avodah Zarah, is regarding Evan Masama. Rabbi Kiva Sovek Nida. Rabbi Kiva holds that Avodah Zarah is like a Nida. A man Nida, as we just finished explaining, is Metama be'evim Masama. So as Rabbah, according to Rabbi Kiva, af Avodah Zarah, Metama be'evim Masama, that's going to be the case by Avodah Zarah as well. Rabbanan Savri, however, the Rabbanan hold, we compare it to Sheretz. Ma Sheretz lo Metama be'evim Masama. Just like a Sheretz, there's no din of Evim Masama on. Af Avodah Zarah lo Metama be'evim Masama, there's no din of Evim Masama by Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, but we learned earlier that the Torah clearly compares Avodah Zarah to Sheretz. Shaketz Tishak Tzena. But in what regard, asked the Gemara, Ula Rekiva, Lamai Hichchus Iskus L'Sheretz, regarding what halacha is it compared to a Sheretz? Answers the Gemara, it's compared L'Sham Sheo. The Avodah Zarah itself is certainly treated strictly like a Nida. When we're speaking here, we're speaking about the Mishamshim of Avodah Zarah. Then they don't have the same level of Tumah as Avodah Zarah. They're a lower level of Tumah. They only have the din of Tumas Sheretz. Ask the Gemara, on the other hand, that the Rabbanon hold that Avodah Zarah is treated like Tumas Sheretz. Ul Rabbanon l'may hilchasa iskish l'nida. Regarding what is Avodah Zarah compared to Nida, answer the Gemara l'masa. Tumas Masa, that even though it's compared to a Sheretz, but a Sheretz does not have Tumas Masa, a Nida does have Tumas Masa, the Rabbanan will agree that Avodah Zarah has Tumas Masa. So ask the Gemara, if you're saying that Avodah Zarah is like Nida that has Tumas Masa, but it's also like Sheretz, you know what it would be a perfect comparison to? It would be a case, you should compare it to Nevela. Because according to the Rabbanon, Avodah Zarah is Metama B'Masa, it's not Metama B'Evim Masama, and that is exactly the type of Tumah that a Nevela has. So instead of comparing it to Nida, and comparing it to Sheretz, and saying it's somewhat like a Nida, and somewhat like a Sheretz, say straight that it's like a Nevela, which it is, according to the Rabbanon's interpretation, according to Rabbah, is what it exactly is. Says the Gemara, Enechanami. That would be a perfect comparison. Why didn't that happen? Says the Gemara, Ella, man Nida eina levorim. The halacha is, Tumas Nida doesn't apply that if an aver, if a limb, chas v'shalom, if a nida fell off, it'll have tumas, aver menachai, and the various tumas that come if a limb of a person gets disconnected. But it won't have tumas, it won't have tumas nida. Af avodah zarah, so too, the loch with avodah zarah, that's made up of different parts, and if one of the parts fall off, that part that fell off it does not have the din of Avodah Zarah. Of course, if the Avodah Zarah was completely shattered, then it wouldn't have a din of any Tumah. Something which is shattered loses its status of Avodah Zarah. Here we're speaking about a situation where it's not completely shattered, but it was broken off. A part of the Avodah Zarah was broken off, and therefore the Gemara is saying it doesn't have the Tumas of Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, we're actually going to learn a Gemara in the next daf. Is there Tumas Avodah Zarah when a piece of the Avodah Zarah comes off? Don't we see from here, Tifshalem Yehadu Rabbanon, the Rabbanon are clearly teaching us, by the Torah comparing Avodah Zarah to Nida, that Einel Avarim, that these pieces aren't Metama, Tumas Avodah Zarah. Answers the Gemara, absolutely. Rav Chama bar Guria had no question, according to the Rabbanan. The opinion of Rabbanan regarding the Tumah of the Avram of Avodah Zarah is clear, that it's not. According to whom was Rav Chama bar Guria asking this question? He's asking a question, Aliyah de Rekiva Boilei. He doesn't compare Avodah Zarah to Nida to teach the din of Avarim. He compares it to teach us that it has tumas masa. It comes to compares it to teach us the din of Evan Masama. And now the question is, what will be the din of the Avram of Avodah Zarah, according to Rabbi Kiva? That was Rabbi Chama Bakuria's question.